How's it going, everybody? This is Johnny Rivera. Welcome to another episode of Windy City OT. Before we start this episode, I do apologize for missing the past 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago was MLK Day. Typically, I like to spend as much time with family during the holidays and, you know, take advantage of not working on those days and, you know, having actual family time. It is very important. And of course, last week was the unfortunate when Kobe Bryant and the 8 other people on the helicopter have passed because of the helicopter crash. It just became too depressing and I was grieving really over it because Kobe was definitely one of the true role models when I was growing up and watching the game of basketball and loving the game of basketball. You know, I didn't have the luxury of being able to watch Michael Jordan. And, you know, there's maybe fights here and there where you're like saying, oh, no, MJ was the greatest. LeBron was the greatest. Well, when I was growing up, for me, Kobe was up there with them. There is no doubt about that. You cannot surpass an argument to say that Kobe did not fight amongst them, even whether it's before, after he unfortunately passed away. He definitely was one of those people where you watch the game and you remember him. And even just even a silly story to even talking about, which was really odd, but the Friday before he passed away, I was in at work, and so I was shooting a trash piece of paper into the trash can, and you know, the obvious thing you would say when you shoot would be, Kobe! And so, this, you know, I'm working around kids and, you know, helping them out, and next thing you know, when I'm doing that, they all look at me so confused. And this is actually a really, you know, I honestly think this is a brighter story rather than just like, you know, how come you kids don't know him? Because, you know, when they're growing up, they're around 6th, 7th grade. They're used to LeBron James and Stephen Curry. They're not used to LeBron, or rather not LeBron, rather Kobe Bryant, because Kobe was more of the 20s to 30-year-olds generation of greatness. And, you know, they all look so confused. But even just even after his passing on that Monday, then I started hearing every single kid just yelling Kobe. But seeing that, making that much impact, and that people were probably taught that day how much impact Kobe was to the game of basketball. You know, it's just really unfortunate and sad to not only Kobe's life, also all 8 of the other passengers and pilot on that flight. But seeing that, you would expect Kobe, for at least what he was doing, he said that he doesn't need a boy to raise his legacy. He can, you know, his girls can carry that, his name on. And even with Gigi, unfortunately, being on that flight, you would expect Kobe to live all the way till 90, still contributing to the game, and that's why this is such a heartfelt and just struck everybody in the sports world. Not even just the sports world. It was a whole cultural thing where everybody was grieving over the death, and it's just like, you've seen how much he's been through, you've seen how much he's matured, because he began his NBA career at the age of 18. Just imagine coming out of high school and you're playing at the highest level you could ever be. And the man was smart. He proved it. Not only, you know, because of the game of basketball, his IQ level was very talented, amongst the greatest. But you even have this man, he learned how to speak Spanish and Mandarin Chinese during his NBA career. If you find somebody that passed the high school, and then, honestly, I think it was around the age of 30 he learned those two languages and spoke it fluently. This man, you know, he lived a great life, and he had great intentions to even would still have great intentions right now. And, you know, that's just where it is. It's like, it's somebody that was a true role model to a lot of us watching the game, trying to love the game, Now, even though I didn't have any advances past high school to play basketball, it's still something and a reason why I keep watching it today was because of players like Kobe Bryant. This whole week was honestly really downwards. It was more downwards because of when I watch anything basketball, you can't stop to think about Kobe Bryant. And just even on Twitter the other day, I've seen a clip of a matchup between Kobe Bryant and Carmelo Anthony facing each other off. And you literally could not see one thing that you would see in the level of competitiveness today in the NBA. The competitiveness in the NBA today is not nearly as good as it was back then when you're watching that clip. Kobe was the definition of what he talks about. He's the ultimate man of practice what you preach, and that's that Mamba mentality. So, you know, it hits everybody in their hearts because it doesn't even have to be basketball-wise. It could be even just role model-wise outside of the NBA, and that's why it just hit the world just as is. Moving on, we will be hardly talking about any Chicago sports because just finished was the Super Bowl, and you know, a lot of equally probably you'll see the Bears haters and the Bear lovers hate to see that game. Hate to see that game for Bears lovers. Love to see that game for Bears haters because we already know, and as many times as you've heard, the Bears could have drafted Pat Mahomes but passed him up for Mitchell Trubisky. They are literally at the same level right now as far as years-wise, active, and it is not nearly as enough as the statistics tell you. Pat Mahomes is way ahead of the game as he is now a Super Bowl winner, whereas Mitchell Trubisky has only, you know, led this team to one season in the playoffs and a first-round bounce. And the fact that Pat Mahomes within his first 3 years makes records on records on records to top it off in 3 years to make a Super Bowl win, it's just a kick to the face to the whole Bears organization. It's just very frustrating. Like, I get it. Sometimes you can't think that somebody can turn out the way they are if they were in that situation as the Bears are. But the talent that Pat Mahomes held at the time surpassed Mitchell Trubisky. It was quite obvious. Now, if many of people would probably be like, but you loved Mitchell Trubisky, you voted for Mitchell Trubisky, you wanted to back up Mitchell Trubisky. But yeah, I'm going to back up every single player on the team up until they don't deserve it. You know, some people hated when the Bulls drafted Lauri Markkanen, even though Lauri Markkanen is having a really rough and, in my mind, a terrible season. It was a smart pick at the time. Well, not at the time, but rather the first two seasons he played. Oh, this guy's the future. You know, it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, it's literally picking from the lottery because who knows? Maybe Mitchell Trubisky could have been good. Maybe Mitchell Trubisky could have been, you know, somewhat of a good talent. But right now, Pat Mahomes is way on top. Lamar Jackson was literally the last quarterback drafted out of his draft class, you know, of the top ones. And look at him now. He's an MVP. So, give or take, yeah. But looking at the talent and the need, should have been Pat Mahomes or, which at the time, which I believe was Deshaun Watson, was also on the board. They both faced off in the playoffs, at least in the second round. Unfortunately, Deshaun Watson was on the heavy end where they were up 24-0 and then blew that lead and Pat Mahomes won it. Speaking of the Bulls, my goodness gracious. This is very, very sad to watch. at the beginning. You can also recall, probably back at the first episode, second one, whatever, I had full confidence in this Bulls team. And they just take a shovel and literally dug themselves a hole. A hole that somehow you watch this team. You watch this team somehow, though. They are within reach of the eighth seed, which I do not see them coming after now because it's the Nets in the eighth seed with Kyrie back, well, besides his injury that just happened. But they are within reach of an eighth seed, which is doesn't feel real right now. It does not. Zach LaVine's playing out of his mind. Zach LaVine got snubbed of an All-Star. At least tell me one Bulls player besides Wendell Carter should have made the All-Star, which should have been Zach LaVine, and the Futures, which should have been Kobe White. I don't think that you could convince me enough to tell me that Zach LaVine, it's not just Zach LaVine, obviously. This isn't where I'm getting to the point. I'm not saying he's the only one that got snubbed, because Devin Booker is the most talented man out there that takes every game with a purpose, and he puts it out there, and look at him now. He is striking, at least, 27 points per game, 6 assists per game, 4 rebounds a game. Not all the way MVP, but goodness, tell me those stats aren't enough. 51% field goal. Those stats aren't good enough for him to earn a bid to be an All-Star. Even with Brad Beal. Those are the three that really got snubbed, and it's pretty obvious you've seen all the frustration that's happened. You know, and I feel like these guys, these three, shouldn't actually take that with a grain of salt. You know, this and that, and maybe have been a difference between earning a bonus. I get that. But the NBA will, I feel at the end of the season, they will get their payments due when the NBA recognizes those three, or probably not rather Zach LaVine, but more of at least Devin Booker, maybe Bradley Beal, when they talk about all NBA teams. And, you know, at least those two will earn their dues when it becomes that time of the year. The only reason I do, or rather am, mildly frustrated at this, because Zach LaVine didn't make it, and it's kind of a mixed feeling about this, is that he said that if he makes the All-Star team, then he's going to do the dunk contest. And now that he didn't make the All-Star team, he pulled his name out of the dunk contest. And, you know, I wanted to see it because you have a lot of comebacks here. And this is going to be a very, very intriguing. This is going to be, honestly, not just very intriguing, an awesome dunk contest in general. You have Dwight Howard, former dunk contest winner. You have Aaron Gordon, also a dunk contest winner. Derrick Jones Jr., and then you could have had Zach LaVine there at the end. Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon duked it out when Zach LaVine was with the Timberwolves, and I don't know, maybe in recent memory you can't tell me there was a better dunk contest than that one. That was at least one of the better ones. The most intriguing ones, the most eye-catching ones. But who knows? Who knows what happens? Who knows what will happen? Maybe somebody gets injured and boom, one of those guys gets plugged in there and then we're having a happy day. But, you know, what really more matters the most is rather, did they get voted initially? And that does seem what matter. But the other part when I was talking about, I have mixed feelings about when Zach LaVine pulled his name out, he should still be in there representing the city of Chicago, especially when this year's All-Star game, and you know, all the All-Star festivities is happening in Chicago at the United Center. And you know, it's like, kind of like, you need somebody to be a representative for the team to be there. And you know, nobody deserves to be in those festivities unless their name is Zach LaVine. Or Coby White. Because those two have the legitimate chances of making something of the weekend. Unless we have some, I don't know, I didn't check, but the last time I checked, there's not a full list for the three-point contest, nor do I see a full list for the, what is it? Skills competition. Maybe there could be someone that just enters in there. Maybe, I don't know. But, you know, Laurie hasn't fought for very much to be a name in one of those. Wendell can't do anything because he's literally injured. Who else on the team? Tomas Sanaransky, I'm over him. I don't know what it is. It's just like, I feel as if I'm just, he was fine at first. Then I was like, okay, maybe he could be a role player. And right now, he needs to still prove to me he can be that role player. He's not a starter on this team. If we ever want to be a legitimate competitive team out there, it feels as if he should be, I mean, we still have him for quite some time. It feels as if he should be, honestly, one of the first men off the bench because he's got at least somewhat of an IQ that I feel that he's smart enough because he's actually more of a pass-first player. And not just a pass first, even if that ball is just passed to him and he's wide open for a three, he's still passing the ball, which kind of befuddles me. And I get it, you know, it's great to have a teammate that's not selfish in that moment. But when your team is down, it even happened against the Nets the other night, even though the Bulls got really knocked out by Kyrie Irving that game. Tomas Sanaransky passed up an open three when the Bulls were down three at one point. And, you know, I need Tomas Sanaransky to be there at that moment to shoot a three. He's not the best at shooting threes, but it's not like he's got around a 25% of a three-point percent shot. He's, roughly around, checking the stats, 30, literally on the dot, 34%. You take that. You take that three. You take that three, I want you, you miss it, you'd miss it with pride, you make it, hey, guess what, you tied that ball game up, but I need a little bit of selfishness when you're open. We need a player that can step up, and with, even though he's been in the league since 2016, he still has great amount of service as a professional player. He's played basketball professionally since 2007 overseas. He's 28 right now, so I don't think there should be a problem with him trying to shoot the ball there. You know, I don't think anybody can argue. I can only argue if we miss an obvious shot, such as layups, and I've seen multiple players do that, and it just frustrates me, man. I sometimes want to quit on the team. I sometimes don't. No reason I don't, because I would never quit on a team unless they are literally getting pelted. And somehow this team is within reach of an 8th seed. Don't know how, don't know why. But if they make the playoffs, hey, we'll take that, even though draft and the lottery value is going to be, you know, we're going to be more up around the 15-16. But still, come on. Open three, you gotta take that. I don't know what else there is to talk, to be honest. You know, this whole week, not a lot of Chicago things happening. You do see the Blackhawks somewhat making some noise out there, which is very plausible. You gotta give it to them. They literally went, even though, you know, it's a very tight and packed from literally fourth place of the Central Division down, it's always tight and pack. But of the Western Conference, they're still 25-21. 25-21-6. And, you know, that doesn't make them separate from any of the part of the pack. It's all knit tight from the bottom up, around the mid part, if you're putting all the West together. But, you know, hey, at least they're making somewhat of noise. Bulls, no, there's no noise there. Bears, you know, they can't do anything, really. Cubs, they signed a minor league deals. Not going to overhype those because, you know, yay, Jeremy Jeffress, Steven Sousa. That's good. But I can't also, like, expect anything big because, like, what money are they going to use? I'll let Ricketts take a paycheck out. Yeah, okay, stop. Stop telling people what to do with their own money. Dude's literally invested so much money and won a 2016 World Series, and Cubs fans still want more. We forgot we're a baseball team. We're not the Yankees. We don't have unlimited money. And not only that, you forgot that we were a team that loses too. We're a team that wins. But right now, they're just stuck in a pickle right now. And that's why I still feel like, you know, the best option is to make a mini rebuild. White Sox, you know, hey, doing their thing over there. I mean, no more signings ever since, you know, all those big ones. They're just ready to go for this season. So far, nothing for Chicago. And that's all we'll have for this episode. Again, coming back to what we said at the beginning. You know, apologize for missing the past 2 weeks. It was just, you know, really busy on MLK Day. And then for, you know, the unfortunate accident that happened with the helicopter of Kobe Bryant's. And to those, may they all rest in peace. Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, Ara Zibayan, Christina Mauser, John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, Gianna Bryant, and Kobe Bryant. Thank you for listening to this episode of Windy City OT. Tune in next week for our newest episode. Your future.